Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I give thanks to God that you have decided to be here this night. As we, as a church family, give thanks to him, spend time together here first, acknowledging that we are to give thanks to God Most High. And then tomorrow, spend time with your families around the table. And I would encourage you that if you have gotten away from this practice, that you would spend time around the table with one another. And not just on Thanksgiving Day, but on multiple days of the year, you would give thanks to God for his rich blessings. That you would take time before you eat and say, God, I am thankful that you have blessed me with X, Y, or Z. I am thankful for each and every one of you gathered here tonight. I am thankful to God for you. A nation needs to give thanks to the one who gives it every blessing. And that is why we are gathered here tonight. That is why you will gather tomorrow. Because our nation understood the importance of giving thanks to God for every good thing. In Deuteronomy 26, we read these words, "Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house." Now, perhaps some of you have already gone out and begged your deer, and I hope that you gave thanks to God for that. For others of us, we'll go and sit out in the woods and hopefully see something this year. But if you do get a deer, or whatever it is that you might be hunting, give thanks to God, because he has provided you with meat. He has provided you with the food that you receive each and every day. Give us this day our daily bread. God gives daily bread to everyone, even without our prayers, even to all evil people. And so if God is willing to give daily bread, even to evil people, even to people who despise him, who blaspheme him, how much better will he give to you? If a father would not give a viper to his son when he asks for bread, surely our heavenly Father gives even more abundantly. And that's really the point of our epistle lesson and our gospel lesson. Because we need to put it in perspective. We need to recognize that everything that we have is a gift from God. And when we realize that, when we recognize that, we give thanks to him. We set our priorities based around what he is, who he is, what he has done. God gives you everything that you need to support this body and life. And even more important than that, he gave you a Savior. He gave you salvation. He gave you his own son's blood for the remission of our sins. That's how abundantly your God, your Father, gives you. He has given you everything necessary for eternal life. And for that, we give him thanks. That's the point of a day of national thanksgiving. It's not to stuff ourselves, to be gluttonous, and then in turn shop and shop and shop. And I know that it would be easy for me to once again say, now make sure that you're thankful, but obviously that's why you're here. You remembered the most important part of this day. Give thanks to God. Recognize his gifts. But use his gifts not to your own glory, not to store up, but to his glory. St. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Those words are on the back of every one of our bulletins under the gathering of the offerings. St. Paul writes, God loves a cheerful giver. So when we give, either by the plate passing in front of us or us walking past the plate on Wednesday evenings, we give back to the Lord, not grudgingly, not the bare minimum, but from our hearts. We recognize that it's not just about money. Yes, money makes many things go round. However, it's also about who you are, that you give yourself back to Him, that you give your children and your grandchildren back to Him, that you give back the very voice that you have been given to His glory, that the talents that God has blessed you with, you give back to Him, that the time that God has given you, you give back to Him. There are so many ways to serve God and His church, whether in your daily lives telling others about Jesus, standing firm in the Word of God, whether people mock you for it or not, whether they make up all sorts of lies about the Bible or not, and all of the wonderful talents that God has given you, use them to His glory. Use them to give Him praise. Use them to tell others what He has done, not just for you, but for the whole world. Yes, God loves not a begrudging giver, but a cheerful giver. Do it with joy. The fact that God has given you super abundantly, that you can return those gifts back to Him. Yes, we are to give. We return our monetary gifts, we return our time and our talents, but we also don't simply store it up and funnel it away. Because in our gospel lesson, Jesus tells a parable. And He says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? What a problem to have. My barns are so full of God's great gifts. What should I do? Maybe I'll tear them down and build bigger ones, so I never have to worry about another day in my whole life. Even before I begin the next part of the passage, I want you to think about that, to think about how selfish that truly is. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have so many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. What good is it to stockpile money for a day that might never come? Is it good to be conservative with your finances? Absolutely. Should you only spend that which you have been given? Yes. But if God has super abundantly blessed you or your church, those funds should be used to the glory of God, not built up in greater storehouses. So that when Jesus returns, we can't simply write Him a check and say, here, Lord, I held on to this for you. No, we use it for His glory. We use it to extend His kingdom. We give to the poor and the needy, to the widow and the fatherless. So that when God comes back, He doesn't call us fools. This night your soul will be required of you, then whose will those things be which you have provided? Like we talked about on Sunday, be found with the wise. Be found with the virgins who believed that the bridegroom was coming. Because as we make this transition from the end of the church year to the beginning of a new church year, Jesus is coming. He comes to you this very night in His body and blood to give you the forgiveness of your sins. When Jesus returns, make sure that you are not called fool, but that you are found to be wise, not because of who you are, but because of your faith in Jesus Christ, that you identify not with the world, but with Jesus. So use what God has given you to His glory. Give back, do it cheerfully, with joy, and see how God is at work in you. The church sings a hymn based on what we're going through in Bible study on Sunday mornings from the Didache. Father, we thank thee, who hast planted thy holy name within our hearts. Knowledge and faith and life immortal, Jesus thy Son to us imparts. Thou, Lord, didst make all for thy pleasure, didst give us food for all our days. Giving in Christ the bread eternal, thine is the power, be thine the praise. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.